Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.
Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome back to the Hagman Report from Studio B. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, June 25th, 2019. As I stated at the beginning of the show, due to some scheduling conflicts, a lot of stuff going on, Stan Deo, who is usually on Tuesday, will be on Thursday, the second hour on Thursday. Tomorrow, Pastor David Langford will be delivering a brand new teaching, a brand new sermon tomorrow, the second hour. You're not going to want to miss that. But I left the first hour with a reference to human trafficking. And Fox News had done a report on this. And in fact, had done a series of reports on this. But the latest, Andrew Kuiper, I believe his name is, from two days ago, roughly, where I left off, advocates working to put an end to human trafficking share their stories. And Fox News's Fox reports in-depth coverage of the human trafficking crisis continues. I would submit they only have half the story. I'll tell you why. The other half is built into a more complex issue of in addition to what the obvious problems are, what the discussed problems are, there is an area that's off limits to discussion, and that is the trafficking as it relates to satanic ritual abuse. Now, I know this is a topic people don't want to talk about. As a matter of fact, of all the topics discussed, this is the one topic that gets me disinvited from whatever media events there might be out there, Republican events, even conservative events. People don't want to hear about this. Here's what Fox News is reporting of late, and I think it's what's worthy to note, because really they are one of the few, in fact, they're the only ones at the moment that are covering this issue. But the United States right now is ranked as one of the worst countries in the world, and think about that, for human trafficking. This is according to a recent report released by the State Department. There are three countries right now, three nations of origin for victims of human trafficking back in 2018, the latest numbers. United States, Mexico, and the Philippines. Makes sense. At least Mexico and the Philippines make sense. But what about the United States? Well, that's a little bit more, it's not what you think necessarily, or maybe it is what you think. Secretary of State Pompeo delivered the Trafficking in Persons report. It's an actual report, and that's the title of it, Trafficking in Persons. All right. Now, that's done every year by the State Department to document human trafficking for the previous year, so 2019, 2018. This report highlighted the growing focus that government agencies and nonprofit organizations have dedicated to stopping human trafficking. Now, let me put a kind of a semicolon there, because I'm here to tell you that when we talk about human trafficking and non-government organizations, there's some overlap there. Remember Laura Silsby, okay? Remember, I'm just tossing this out there. In my opinion, in my reasoned opinion, anyway, it's an opinion. The Clinton Foundation, Laura Silsby, the 33 Haitian children. I'm just saying, it's well documented. Now, The Department of Justice provided more than $31 million for 45 victim service providers that offered services to trafficking survivors, those people who have been trafficked and are survived the ordeal. And this is nationwide. This is across the country. So there are 45 victim service providers that have received $31 million apiece. Now, you want to talk about human trafficking, talk to Craig Sawyer, for example, from Vets for Child Rescue. And I'm going to have him on here at some point. The increase was demonstrable from the previous years. I should note the increase in funding. In the previous years, the Department of Justice only provided $16 million to 18 organizations in 2017. Now, much of this is because of Donald Trump, because of his executive orders and actions. So that's a good thing. According to the Fox News report, however, at the heart of the human trafficking trade in America is simple economics, supply and demand. That's true. Where I have an issue is the reason for the demand and the source of the supply. But I digress. Over the last 2 months, Fox News, this according to the report, they investigated human trafficking. They followed law enforcement. They followed FBI agents and followed their efforts and police officers and documented the ways advocacy groups protect and serve survivors. And they, of course, saw all the heart-wrenching stories of abuse and rape and recovery from numerous victims. Now, if there's one takeaway, this according to Fox, if there's one takeaway from their reporting, it's that the industry is fueled by an increasing demand. It's here that officers focus their enforcement. It's the demand side, obviously. And this is where the advocates focus their educational efforts to end illicit trade. But again, I would interject there, given what I am seeing from my own personal investigation, and you can speak to individuals such as Russ Dizdar, there are numbers on this report that are not even considered, and large numbers at that. I had the opportunity to meet with Russ Dizdar, and we spoke, and the number of individuals in this country that stand, and now this is away from this report now, this is just me talking, that are a consequence of programs like MKUltra and secret government programs going all the way back to the 1940s and even a little bit before that, but specifically the 40s around the Nazi era period, around the Aleister Crowley, around Babylon Working. And if you're not familiar with Babylon Working, I would urge you to look up Babylon Working, and that's not with a Y, but with an A. Think and research Aleister Crowley and some of the things that he's done or that he did in during the day. In their objectives, the multi-generational victims of mind control, the multi-generational victims of satanic ritual abuse. Again, you're not going to hear about this. And when you do hear about this, it's in a mocking fashion. I remember giving an interview to a large magazine. I remember showing an authenticated image of a young boy in a cage. And the response I got, well, that's playing hide and seek. Okay. So that's how we're going to do this. And at that point, I just ceased my cooperation. With the report, and just hold that thought. Now, with the report, in 2018, the Department of Justice began 230 federal human trafficking prosecutions. Now, this is a drop from 282 in 2017. So you're looking at 48 investigations for a month, roughly. Well, actually, for a month from the previous year. So a drop in investigations by 48 from the previous year in prosecutions, again. Federal convictions, however, they rose from 499, almost 500, in 2017 to 526 in 2018. More than 70% of the cases resulted in jail sentences of more than 5 years, thankfully, right? Now, this according to the State Department report. Now, I would look a little bit jaded of any State Department reports. I think you kind of understand why. Now, Jeff Rogers, the co-founder of the United States Institute Against Human Trafficking, said this in a Fox interview. We have a major issue here in the United States. Yeah, no kidding. The United States is the number one consumer of sex worldwide. So we are driving the demand as a society. Now, if you watched Paul Joseph Watson, some of his recent videos, and if you look at the homosexual agenda, and it's not that big of a leap. The homosexual agenda is to destroy, in part, their agenda is to destroy the nuclear family. I think we understand that. I think we can all agree with that. Or at least the most, I don't want to say fringe elements, at least at its core, the homosexual agenda, including homosexual, and especially homosexual marriage, is to destroy the nuclear family. But it's also to remove all moral restrictions, from sex. Everything goes. There's nothing that's perverse. Lower the age of consent. Don't forget about the 12-year-old dancing on a bar in drag in a drag outfit. That was just recently in the news as well. So you've got all of this slamming away, this chipping away at our moral fabric of good versus evil, of what's good, of what is ordained by God. And again, I would argue at the core of this, to understand this, at least from an investigative point of view, the demand is being fueled by satanic forces. Now, you could separate those satanic forces as you could any criminal behavioral profile. You could separate that into just pure carnality, which I would argue is ignited by a spirit, the spiritual warfare. But there's also a much deeper and darker side to this as well. As if that's not bad enough, there's something even worse than that. And that's that other something that's worse than that is something that that we are working on here at the Hagman Report. And we're not just in the investigative phase, but also in the, for example, how Russ Dizdar, what he does in the recovery phase, identify and recover. So what you've got in the different divisions, not the Department of State discussions and investigations, but what you've got a whole, I'm not even sure how to explain this to an audience that is not, many of you, not most of you, I would say, know what I'm talking about. But there are some that I want to be very careful here with, because if you overstate something, or if you sound like you're overstating it, then the belief factor goes down. And I don't want that to happen, because this is too important of a topic. But there are instances where you've got families, generations, going back into the 30s and 40s, in the 40s especially, where there are individuals known as breeders. I'm not making this up. Breeders who will have children, and those children will be trafficked, generally speaking, for sacrificial purposes. Now, I know how hard that is to even imagine, but when you start investigating this, when you start looking at this and digging deep into the generational aspects of this, it becomes pretty clear. There is proof of this, significant proof. And then, of course, you've got the individuals, and now Russ calls them has titled them the chosen ones, for example, the mind-controlled chosen ones, who are also part of the sex and human trafficking operations. Now, what does that have to do with anything? Why did I bring this up? Again, this goes to the demand. The supply, in most cases, the supply is there through criminal activities, but then there's also the supply through generational breeding that in some cases were part of military experiments and military operations. When I say military, let me clarify this. Covert operations that went by rogue elements, okay, that spun off, for example, of Nazi experimentation and such. But you've got this this selective generational pool of children, as hard as that is to think about. And you may say, well, you've got to prove that to me. Yeah, I guess we could go through, and there are sufficient examples to prove that this exists. But can you prove the numbers sufficiently without overstating this? I don't think you can. But let me get back to the Fox article here. The State Department's already admitting that there's a problem, that we are one of the top three countries. Now, how did we get there? Given the fact that we are a civilized society, how did we get to be the leader in human sex trafficking? You've got to ask yourself that question. We're also driving the demand with our own people, with our own children. This according to Jeff Rogers. So there are tremendous number of children, a multitude of kids that are being sold as sex slaves today in America. This according to our own State Department. These are American kids, American born, 50% to 60% of them coming out of the foster care industry. We've talked about this. I've seen comments about this. I've gotten emails about this. In fact, I've gotten comments, you never talk about this. Of course we do. We talk about the foster care industry. This particular assertion is confirmed by the State Department's report, which found that children in foster care, homeless youth, undocumented immigrant children, and those with substance abuse problems were especially at risk to fall into the human trafficking trap. And when you talk about things like this, you talk about victimology. And you've heard that word, I'm sure, on some of your favorite crime shows. You've got low-risk victims and higher-risk victims. For example, a prostitute is at a higher risk for homicide than a housewife. And I'm just using that as a broad-brush example. but again, you've got the foster care industry, 50 to 60% of the supply of children for human trafficking, and specifically sex trafficking, comes from the foster care industry. Confirmed by the State Department. And confirmed by the State Department, they found that children in foster care, homeless youth, undocumented immigrant children, their words, not mine, and those with substance abuse problems, again, especially at risk. Now, this Rogers, again, from the State Department, says that because the demand is so great in the United States, traffickers are filling that demand with an increased supply of forced sex workers. This is a big deal, which is why one of the first orders signed by President Trump dealt with human trafficking. Think as well, you also have to understand how perverted things are, and I know that my listening audience does. You've got the... When's the last time anyone has talked about the NXIVM cult? They're not the only ones. And it's much broader than just what you heard. Again, the demand is so great in the United States, traffickers are filling that demand with an increased supply of forced sex workers. Now, you also have, concurrent with this, the agenda I spoke about, the homosexual agenda. There was a great article, I think it was in Life Zet magazine, I don't have it with me, but it talked about how marriage, the nuclear family, and typical marriage has been under assault, and what that has done to society in general, and to how marriage is looked upon by the general population. The article itself made the argument, and I apologize for not remembering who this author is, and I certainly have a lot of respect for this individual. But when you denigrate the sanctity of marriage through certain acts, whether it be through illicit affairs, that's one. But also the denigration of marriage and of the husband-wife dynamic through the obvious, you know, husband-husband, wife-wife, which is just incredible, or even pervert it. You open the doors for acceptance of things that will increase the demand for this very issue. And again, you've got to look, at least in my view, when you look at criminal behavior, when you study continuing courses of criminal behavior, you see and I hope I'm making sense on this, you see a certain pattern that is associated with activities like this. Remember a couple of years ago, WikiLeaks, the Podesta emails. Remember... who can forget, for example, the Arch of Hysteria, the sculpture that hung in the home of the Podestas that was featured on the cover of a magazine, one of the Washington magazines, I believe it was, that appeared very similar to the positioning, the posing, the staging. Now, those words mean different things, but for this case, I'll just use it interchangeably, of one of the victims of Jeffrey Dahmer. And you may say, well, you know, okay, fine. It's just a coincidence, or that's the taste in art. That doesn't mean that individual, whoever might have that, Podesta or whoever, is guilty of anything. And that's very true. But when... However, is it not right, or is it not? How can I put this? Wouldn't normal people ask that question? What's up with that? Why, for example, or some of the artwork on the walls, whether it be Podesta or whoever, insert name here. I use that as an example as it related to the WikiLeaks release and the subsequent brouhaha over that. But there are so many others. Think about the wall art of others, the picture of cannibalism. Think about the parties where human beings model, you know, they have their heads, it would appear that their heads are on a table while full forms of humans, like in cake form, are available for people to eat, very anatomically correct and color specific in terms of the inside of the cake, for example, in one example. Or you have actual human beings in a, I'm searching for a term, in a sauce to depict this cannibalistic behavior. Now, that's really a lot of real estate between what I was referencing from the State Department to where I ended up. I admit that. And again, the tendency is to perhaps overstate some things, but in case I don't think it can be overstated. Now, let me go back. We had, at the same time, the revelation of Marina Abramović, spirit cooking. Oh, that took on a life of its own. And remember the reaction by individuals. It's art. It might not be tasteful. You might not think it's art, but to some, it's art. What some people believe is art or trash is other man's art, right, or whatever it might, whatever that saying is. However, the moral decency at this point, or what we're seeing, at least, again, this is in my investigative view. When you cross that Rubicon, when you cross that line, it, to me, when you say art, well, I have a problem with that if you classify that as art. Faux cannibalism as art. But there's other spinoffs of that. When I mentioned Nexium, think of sex cults. Hey, this has been adjudicated. There have been adjudications. Epstein Island. And think about all of the individuals that have visited that island, for example. Many in positions of power. Bohemian Grove. Oh, that's just a bunch of people just blowing off steam, right? There's nothing that happens there. The reason I mention this, when you look at these numbers are low, tremendously low, and we're only seeing half the story. In the very near future, I'll have Russ come on and we'll talk about some of the things that are being worked on, to the extent possible. You may recall last week Eric and myself we missed a show. And the reason we missed a show is it has to do with exactly what I'm talking about, but the looking and the investigation side of this. Folks, what's taking place here is real. This is real. But again, when you look at Fox News, for example, not that there's anything wrong with Fox News, you're not getting the entire story. Satanic ritual abuse, sex trafficking, human trafficking, folks, is a huge problem, and it's bigger than anyone can imagine, and it's even worse than some of the worst. You think you can think bad thoughts about this? Some of the things you cannot unsee, believe me. Some of the things you cannot unknow as much as you want to unknow. Right now, there are covens and groups of individuals, and as crazy as this sounds, I know how crazy it sounds. Sometimes I'm thinking, wow, but there are instances where you have children who are being commerced for this kind of activity, for the sex industry, or worse, beyond sex slaves. As a matter of fact, if you look in the news, and you'll have to watch carefully on this, but you will see, and this actually, this kind of overlaps into serial killers and serial crime and things of that nature. You will see that, some of these crimes, they're homicides, and they're quite brutal, and some are unsolved, but again, I don't want to overstate it to the extent where it's made unbelievable, but I don't want to understate it either. It's a very thin line, and this is a family show. But understand that there are murders out there that are ascribed to just serial killers. Okay? Dare I say normal serial killers, if there is such a thing? When in fact, you look at what the circumstances, at the forensic aspects that are never reported, and this is something we hope to change, by the way, with the law enforcement, to create an occult crimes, a method of handling occult crime scenes. This is what we're working on, a method to identify and handle occult crime scenes, because there's a need out there for this. Right now, Russ is working on a case, and I'm not going to speak out of school, but he has been working on a case where it's a murder case where the motive was occult in nature. Right from the kidnapping to what happened to these individuals, to the, and I pardon the expression, the dump site, the location of the dump site, the condition of their bodies. Now, okay, the law enforcement looks at this and say, okay, this is a homicide. It's a specific kind of homicide. There's no column for where there needs to be a column, and that is satanic crimes. And a lot has to do with the satanic panic. The individuals back in the 80s who were responsible for the False Memory Foundation and saying, oh, these children that testified or that told others about what was going on, people in robes and cannibalism and various stories. It was just all made up, and it was a false memory syndrome that resulted in what's now known as the satanic panic. And think about what happened to that. That took a whole pool of victims and rendered them as liars, rendered them as people who would embellish something, or just plain wrong. Think about what that has done to the victims, which is why I'm trying to be very circumspect with my language right now. But folks, this is one of the reasons why, right now, actually, I'm broadcasting from Studio B. There are things we have been doing to engage in this kind of activity, to act as assistants or to provide assistance in the facilitation of addressing this issue. So it's good to see Fox News talking about this. And I'll finish up with this Fox News article. According to the U.S. State Department Health and Human Services report, over 300,000 of America's young population is considered at risk for sexual exploitation. 300,000. It's also estimated that nearly 200,000 incidents occur within the U.S. each year. Again, that's looking at a specific set of numbers, reported numbers. I would say that number is extremely low. Weighing in on this is Corporal Alan Wilkett, Pasco County Sheriff's Office in Florida. He operates what is known as their human or local human trafficking task force. He believes that the best way to combat the trade is to quell the demand. Well, of course. But again, the demand originates. There's multiple reasons for the demand. I'll just leave it at that. Again, a family-friendly show. Historically, we've allowed the sex buyer to hide behind a mask of anonymity and actually call them a John. Now, we're talking about kids now, children. He said in an interview with Fox News, we don't even call them by their name because we let them stay behind the mask. Again, they're talking about now the demand, the John, the guy that visits a prostitute. And I would suspect that we're talking about maybe an underage minor in a prostitute situation taking to the street, a runaway or a foster child. But again, that's just one side, one part of the demand. Trafficking in, and remember this, trafficking in America, if you are trafficked in the United States, 85% of victims that are trafficked here are from here. So the pool of victims in human trafficking is from the United States. Now, Wilkett and others, other law enforcement officers focus on arrests and sting operations. Leaders in the nonprofit realm take a more holistic approach, according to this article, to heal survivors. Brooke Bellow, the founder of anti-trafficking organization More to Life in Florida, that's the name of the organization, they focus on helping develop skills to lead a successful post-trafficking life. Now, again, subsequent to the demand and recovery of individuals, what is lacking here, especially on the spiritual side of things, is the addressing the spiritual component to this. Again, I look at Russ Dizdar, one of the few out there actually dealing with this. And this is something that it must be dealt with. In this case, however, they work with victims that are 3 years old and up. The average victim that they work with, that's over 18, started being raped at 3 years of age. Trafficking in America, if you are trafficked in the United States, 85% of the victims are from here, as I mentioned. And this is a pretty heavy topic to be talking about. But again, I wanted to make sure that people understand a number of things. When we look at reports that come out, there's more to the story than just what's coming out. When we look at, when we talk for during the normal course of our program, we'll talk about child protective services and foster care. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the moral perversion. But rarely do we talk about the really ugly side of things. Now, not that that's not ugly, but what I'm talking about is I'm referencing the satanic aspect of things. 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you would not, I don't know, a number of years ago, you would not have gotten me to believe this, in any of this, that, for example, that you would be trafficking in children for a specific sacrifice, or breeding children for sacrificial purposes. You'd think, oh, come on, you can't even write that in a science fiction book. But it happens. And it's happening more and more today. Think about the generations from the 40s onward. In working with Russ, I had the opportunity to meet someone who was involved in this activity in a breeder program. I learned a lot. Stuff I didn't want to learn, but I learned a lot. What I'm telling you, folks, what I'm telling you right now, this stuff is real and it's growing. Multiple motivations, multiple motives here behind this. Multiple reasons for the demand, the growing demand. Not necessarily as what's stated, although what is stated is horrible. But it's even worse than that. In playing the role, at least this report talks about the LGBT individuals. Although not necessarily in the manner in which they should. There's an element of victim pool of LGBTQ children. Again, children who are not able to identify their sexuality, that are abused and assigned a sex, or in the case of that 12-year-old drag queen, I mean, come on. And that mother thinking everything is fine with that. Where does that come from? But again, that's a digression from my main point. But the fact is this. Right now under President Trump, one thing that he has done, and I think it's pretty clear with everyone, he has made progress on the human trafficking front, at least the visible side, at least the, shall I say, the normal demand need. Not that there is a normal demand, but you understand what I'm talking about. So this is something that I want to let people know, especially our supporters know, that we're heavily involved into combating this. Yes, investigations. Yes, talking with people. Yes, looking into CPS and foster care and all of that. Yes, that's part of it. But even the darker side, even the deeper side. I want to thank you for allowing us to do that. Actually, providing us with the funds to be able to do that, because I'll tell you something, investigations like this are tremendously expensive. You know, Russ has a site, PennsylvaniaHasASecret.com, PennsylvaniaHasASecret.com, Tom Dunn, LondonHasASecret.com, ShatterTheDarkness.net for Russ Dizdar. And the reason I'm talking about this now is you're going to be hearing more and more about this in the future, for reasons that you might not suspect. As we get closer down this path of depravity, things will become much clearer. I mean, look, zoophiles, I'm not making this up. I'm not, okay, normalizing bestiality, normalizing sex with children, far below anything that's conscionable. All of this is being pushed right now. I started out the program talking about the social networking. Google execs in a panic. And I just want to circle back around to this and connect some dots here. Remember what I said about this? I do. Remember what I said about the social networking sites and about how the senators sparred with Google execs over the use of persuasive technology? Don't think this persuasive technology is just talking about something political or talking about something palatable. This pervasive, believe me, and I apologize for mixing the words, but the persuasive technology, I would argue, again, my opinion, in addition to being a political mechanism and tool, is to normalize what could never be considered normal, and to further pervert our lives here in America and across the Western world. So, circling back, and again, it's not by any accident that you've got Google executives, or I shouldn't say Google, the Silicon Tech executives, and banking executives, and all these executives. It should not, but especially those people who control this technology, it shouldn't surprise anyone, the persuasive technology would apply and be applicable to the perverse. Doesn't that connect with what we see, the meetings we see? Doesn't that connect with Bohemian Grove? Doesn't that connect with Epstein Island? Doesn't that connect with, Franklin cover-up? McMartin case? In some case, now, I understand the controversy there. I don't agree with it. But you see how this all ties together. So you've got tech censorship attempting to normalize, in my view, or the tech companies attempting to normalize the perverse. You talk against it, the tech companies will censor you, will ban you. They lie to Congress and saying, we're not biased, certainly not politically biased. They are. You talk about homosexual marriage or homosexuality in any kind of dishonorable way, you are censored. Good luck trying to find your website or your Twitter feed or your Facebook account if they allow you to have one. So all of this is tied together. And as President Trump, his first order, striking out against human trafficking, we now see the consequence from 2018 now, 2019. And when you look back to 2017, you can see a decline in the obvious demand, the rise in prosecutions. And this is happening in the West, specifically in the United States. And I would say because of President Trump. But on the other side, you can see people kind of pulling away, not wanting to discuss the other part of this, which is a huge elephant in the room. So we're winning the battle over here, not so much. We're winning the discussion over here. It's being recognized over here, not so much. So this is where we have to concentrate our efforts. And that's what we're doing, by the way. And I want to thank you for allowing us to do that through your support and what have you, through your prayers, support. And again, this it's so critical because you're talking about people's lives and you're talking about really the moral de-evolution of a society. Any population that is no longer empire-like agenda that's out to destroy Western culture and specifically the United States. Why? Why? I mean, aside from the spiritual, the obvious spiritual aspect of things. One of the biggest reasons, of course. At least as a country, as the United States, we are the stumbling block, the stepping stone for this global governance. And this is the last gasp. Because with Clinton, this would have been a done deal, in my view. Now, because, I mean, just look at the Clinton Foundation. Again, in my opinion, look at the Clinton Foundation. So, from an investigative viewpoint, I hope that made sense to you. I hope it makes sense to you what we're doing. And to the Patreon members, I'll be providing in greater detail. And apparently, I've been warned, Eric the Tech and others have warned me about, well, you know, we've got to be careful of how we share this information. If you share it on Patreon, gone. And gone's our funding then. So I want to be able to do this in a manner that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, okay? But still get the information out there. Hopefully you follow me on that. I want to thank you so much. We're going to be back to our regular studio tomorrow. Guest tomorrow, second hour, Pastor David Langford. Coach Dave coming in tomorrow to talk about some things taking place in Chappaqua. And elsewhere, as the Equal Justice Tour continues. It was an interesting write-up in Right Wing Watch about the Equal Justice Tour. Apparently, Kyle, you didn't come. You didn't want your coffee. But right wing activists and the descriptive terms, and the fact that it didn't mean much, must have meant something, huh, Kyle, and others who wrote about it. EqualJusticeTour.com. I don't have anything to do with the website. I don't have anything to do with the planning operation of it, but I do support it. The Hagman Report supports it. Coach Dave will be on tomorrow to talk about it. Pastor Lang for tomorrow. Stan on Thursday. I'm out of time. May God bless you. This program, by the way, was in two parts, and I want to thank you for your patience in that. May God bless you until tomorrow night. God bless. Stay safe. Good night.
For your next date night, or client breakfast, whether you're heading to the airport, or your anniversary, no matter the event, black is always in style. The all-new Uber Black now offers premium vehicles, highly rated professional drivers, and even the ability to request a quiet ride. Uber Black. Predictably premium. For your next date night or client breakfast, whether you're heading to the airport or your anniversary, no matter the event, black is always in style. The all-new Uber Black now offers premium vehicles, highly rated professional drivers, and even the ability to request a quiet ride. Uber Black. Predictably premium.